If you could open your Bibles, if you have them, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We are going to take a little break from 1 John, and for the next 2 weeks look at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving coming up in a week and a half. Our nation will celebrate that day. And so the next 2 weeks we'll look at Thanksgiving. To most people in our nation on Thanksgiving in a week and a half, okay, Thanksgiving's become a time to simply gather together with family. Whether they're Christian or not, our schools give kids breaks, usually Thursday, Friday, sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a holiday that is seen, and it's a big travel holiday. You see families going all over to reunite, so it's a big holiday. It's a holiday that's got known for watching football, right? The Lions and the Cowboys, they play every Thanksgiving, so you know you can watch at least two football games that day. It's a holiday that's known for eating turkey. Some people call it Turkey Day, but it's known for that, and they got big sales on turkeys and all kinds of things. Okay, it's also a holiday that basically kicks off your Christmas season. The next day on Friday is called what? Black Friday, because it's a big shopping day. So Thanksgiving's big, but not a lot of it's centered around giving thanks. It's centered around a lot of other things, and it's a big holiday. And next week we want to look at how the history of Thanksgiving in America, but today we want to see what God says in His Word about Thanksgiving. And why do we do it? And how should we do it? And when should we do it? So we're going to look at all these things about Thanksgiving. And we're going to begin our study this morning in the book of Psalms, chapter 100. So if you're there, could you please, if you're able, stand with me as we read from the Word of God. Psalm 100, we're going to read all five verses here. And look what God has to say about Thanksgiving. See what the Bible says about Thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your Word, and I thank You that we can study it. I thank You that we're in a nation that we can study this freely and openly without fear of anybody busting in here and throwing us in jail. And I ask that we can not take that for granted, and that we can study it with a fervor and with a passion, just like if we were being persecuted, because, Lord, we are given the privilege to look in Your Word. So may we look at it today. May we rightly divide Your Word of truth. Check everything I say against Your Word of truth, Lord, because it is what You have given us for our faith and practice. So, Lord, we thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So why should we give thanksgiving to God? We start in verse 4, and we see that it talks about thanksgiving. Verse 4 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His holy name." Bless His name. Okay, but why do we give thanksgiving to God? We all think, you know, we got reasons we should be thankful. Sometimes we get in a time in our life where we just don't see that we can be thankful for much. I mean, things seem to be just nothing going our way. I mean, everything seems to be against us, and every break just seems to fall the other way, and it seems like, I mean, what do I have to be thankful for? But in the Bible, we have hundreds of reasons to be thankful for God, regardless of what's happening in our lives at that moment. If we're Christian, we have hundreds of reasons to be thankful. Today we're going to look at six of these reasons, and I could have picked many more. But six reasons we can be thankful, and to get ourselves ready for Thanksgiving, to be thankful on that day, for sure. So, the first reason we can see is in verse 3. Psalm 100 verse 3, it says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." One of the reasons we can enter into His gates and give Him thanksgiving is that He hath made us, and not we ourselves. How thankful are you this morning that we are made by God, and that we're not just some randomly, accidentally formed mutation of the product of evolution? I mean, we were formed in God's image. He formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He blew life into him, and he was special, because he was made in the image of God. If we were just randomly, you know, accidentally, we made ourselves basically, there would be no meaning to life. There'd be no right or wrong. I could just as well go kill my neighbor as steal from him. It doesn't matter because we just do whatever we can for 80 years. We're going to die and turn back into dust, and all we are is just particles of matter. But that's not the case. Life would have no meaning. It could have no joy. It could have nothing because we would realize that we are nothing, but we are something now. We are God's creation. It is He that hath made us. I think of watching childbirth again and the miracle of childbirth, but there's pain in childbirth, is there not? And we say, I mean, if there was evolution, this is a good thing against evolution. If there was truly evolution, that's how we came to be, it would be survival of the fittest. And throughout the centuries, throughout the last 6,000 years, there's been many a mother and child die in childbirth because the way we have childbirth is not the easiest way. I mean, you look at animals, they just, you know, push them out, they're done. But I mean, with people, it's tough. And if evolution was true, the mothers that had easy childbirth would pass their genes on, the other ones would die off, and by now, 6,000 years later, or millions of years later, like evolution said, childbirth would not be a thing at all. It'd be easy. There'd be no pain in it. But there is pain. And why is that? Because Genesis 3:16, part of the curse, because of sin, God said there should be pain in childbirth. And that's the only way you can explain what we have, what we see scientifically today, why humans have the largest head circumference for over other animals. So we see that what the Bible says is true. Genesis 3:16 is true. And we can rejoice in that because God hath made us. We're not products of random chance. In Isaiah we read that the Lord hath formed me from the womb. And that's reason number one to thank God, because He has made us. We're a special creation of His. We're here for a purpose. He's before ordained the works that we should walk in. He has a purpose for our life. Right? So we can thank God because it is He that hath made us. Look at verse 5. Other reasons to be thankful to God. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. There's three more reasons. Because He is good, because His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth forever. The Lord is good. We ought to be thankful, and we are thankful. We should be thankful. We can thank every day that we are in a world, in a universe that is created by a God that is good. A God that is good. Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, the Bible says that He had no sin, neither was there any guile found in His mouth. He was sinless. He was perfect. And everything we read in the Gospels, you just see it jumps off the pages. His love, His perfection. God is love. God is good. And that's the God that created this universe. I mean, if we're in a job here on earth and we have a nice boss, you know, we count ourselves thankful. We like working for that guy. But they're still sinful. I mean, they're still not perfect. But we can be servants of the Most High God, who is good, who is righteous, who is holy, and we ought to be thankful for that. We'd be thankful for a boss here on earth. How much more thankful for our Heavenly Father, who is good. As it says in verse 5, for the Lord is good. He is all goodness. So we can be thankful because He's good. Third, we can be thankful because His mercy is everlasting. God has mercy on sinners. Like you and I still are like we were before we were saved. We didn't have to clean up our life and get everything going perfect and then ask God to save us. God has mercy. Though He is just, He has justice on His side, and He is right to punish us for our sins and not to accept us because we are sinful, we're filthy. He has mercy on poor sinners like us, that if we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And each and every one of us, if we are saved, there's a time in our life where we came, we bowed our knee to God and asked Him to save us and have mercy on us, poor sinners. But then once we were saved, do we live a perfect life then? No, we do not live the life that we're supposed to. I mean, God, by all rights, He should kick me to the curb. He should take away my salvation for the way I live. But God, His mercy is everlasting. Though He is right to do it, He doesn't. He has the right to do it, but He doesn't. And that's mercy. He has the power to do it, but He doesn't. He still loves us and keeps us by His power. His mercy is everlasting. That's a reason to thank God. It doesn't matter our circumstances in life. If we are saved, we can thank God every single day that His mercy is everlasting. Look at the next reason in verse 5. And His truth endureth to all generations. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy truth endureth to all generations. God's word is truth. That's how we see the truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. His Word is truth, and it endures to all generations. I mean, we've been around some 1900 years since the last book of the Bible was written. And Satan has tried to use all kinds of schemes and all kinds of men and all kinds of things to corrupt God's Word, to get rid of God's Word, to just totally get rid of it. So we wouldn't have a Bible in our hands. But here today, we all have multiple Bibles. God's Word is with us. It's inerrant. It's perfect. It's infallible. We have exactly what God written, what God wrote back 2,000 years ago. So we can thank God for that, because His truth endureth forever. Without His Word, we'd be lost. I mean, how could we fulfill the Great Commission to go ye therefore and teach all? What would we teach all nations? We wouldn't know what to teach them. It'd be what every man sees right in his own eyes. I mean, you think there's confusion in the church today, and we have God's truth. Imagine if we didn't have His truth, didn't have His Word, there'd be total mass chaos. There's no way we could be saved, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we can be saved. We can get God's mercy on us, because we can call upon His name, because we read it in His Word, because His truth is everlasting. It endureth to all generations. So right there are four reasons that we can be thankful. Regardless of our circumstances, God is good. Regardless of our circumstances, we can praise Him, because His mercy is everlasting and His truth endures forever, and that it is He that made us. Let's turn to Psalm 116. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. We need to think on these things. What are we thankful for? And the Bible, if you just read through, gives us hundreds of reasons to be thankful. Psalm 116, verse 16. Psalm 116, verse 16. We look at another reason we can be thankful as Christians. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. Psalm 116, verse 16. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. We can pray to God and we can offer Him the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We can give thanksgiving to Him because, as it says in verse 16, He has loosed our bonds. When I think of bonds, I think of handcuffs. I mean, can you imagine being in handcuffs and you're in there and they're chafing on you and somebody loosens you? You're thankful to that person. But we were in chains. We were in bondage. We were slaves to sin. But through Christ, we're free. Through Christ, who is the truth, we can know the truth, and the truth can set us free. We're free from the slavery, from the bondage, from the bonds that we were under to sin. Romans 6 tells us, for sin shall not have dominion over you as Christians. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We are now free from sin. Christ has loosed our bonds from sin. When you think about what ruled, and some of us, I mean, myself, for example, I know what ruled my life before Christ. I was slave to many sins, and they ruled over me. But now through Christ, we can be free from that. We can be free and be a servant of Christ instead of a slave to sin. I remember playing freeze tag when I was a kid. Anybody ever play freeze tag? Well, if they touch you, you got to stop. The way we played it then, you spread your legs apart, and if somebody would run under your legs, you're free again to go. And so I was usually thankful when I could get back into the game and play again, right? And I was thankful to that person that went under my legs and could do that. And usually it was somebody that liked me or, you know, cared about me some. You didn't do it to people you didn't like, right? But how much more? I mean, freeze tag is just a little game, but we are dead in our rights and we are on our way to spending eternity in a lake of fire. But Christ comes and looses our bonds, takes off our handcuffs, and makes us free from that sin, from that bondage, because the wages of sin is death. But God gives us a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we can praise the Lord because He has loosed our bonds, as we see in verse 16 there. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for the sixth reason. Again, there's millions of reasons to be thankful. We're just going to look at six of them here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's amazing. We celebrate. I mean, I would say that Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, then maybe Thanksgiving and Easter. We put Christmas way up here, and probably Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving is way more biblical than Christmas. You don't see celebrating Christ's birth all the time, but we do that. But Thanksgiving is very biblical. Easter is very biblical, but somehow Christmas is elevated. It's good to celebrate Christ's birth, but that's become like the holiday. But thanksgiving throughout the Bible is talked about, giving thanksgiving to God. And praise the Lord that we have that holiday to remember that as Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Here Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and encouraging them to give of their bounty to others in need, to other churches down the road in need. So he's encouraging them to give. And in verse 11 he says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. That's us in America for sure. We're enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. He says that if you will give of your bounty, that you will cause thanksgiving to be given unto God for what you give to others. And that should be our goal when we give. When we give to others of our bounty, of what we have, the goal is not to glorify ourselves, it's to glorify God. And the thanksgiving would be given unto God. If we would help somebody out on Thanksgiving or on Christmas, we want the glory to go to God, and thanksgiving from that should go to God. Because He's blessed us with so much. We should be thankful for the material bounty, as it says here, that God has blessed us with. And each one of us right here has been blessed with way more than we need. With a bounty. And so we can thank God for that, but we should also use that to give to others so that abundant thanksgivings might be given unto God because of our liberalness. Because of what we give, more thanksgivings are given unto God. So that's another reason to be thankful, and that's a challenge. For our bounty, what we have, we should give to others so that God can receive more thanksgiving from others. It's a challenge for us today. Like I said, we could go on all day talking on reasons for thanksgiving, why we should give thanksgiving. We looked at, we should give thanksgiving because, number one, He made us. Number two, He is good. Number three, His mercy is everlasting. Fourth, His truth endures forever. Fifth, because He set us free from the bondage of sin. And sixth, because He's blessed us with bounty. He's blessed us materially. So we've looked at why we should give thanksgiving. And there's many more reasons in your individual life. But now we will look at how we should give thanksgiving to God. How should we do it? Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus 22, verse 29. I mean, how we give thanksgiving to God, we gather around as family, and probably everybody has their own specific traditions that they do. Look what the Bible says about what we should do to give thanksgiving to God. Leviticus 22, verse 29. The third book of the Bible, Leviticus, way in the front. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 22, verse 29 says, "And when ye will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will." We should offer thanksgiving from our own will. Not because it's a day that's set aside and we feel like we have to. Not because God commands us to thank Him. Not because, and at my in-laws, we go around and everybody kind of says what they're thankful for that year. But whether they're really thankful or not to God, I mean, people come in and they say, "I'm thankful for this and that." But it should be from our own will. I mean, we should want to say what we're thankful for, not be forced to say what we're thankful for, right? It should be from our own will. When my kids, when they fight against each other and they're screaming coming from that room, I don't try to figure it out. I just spank them all. But anyway, after we're done, I ask them, you know, to say they're sorry, to ask for forgiveness, to give each other a hug. But I tell them to do that stuff. How much does that really mean coming from them? I mean, since I'm telling them to do it, then they do it. It probably doesn't mean much. I'm showing them the right way they should resolve conflict. But what really means something is when they would start doing that on their own. If they would ask for forgiveness, if they would say they're sorry, if they would give a hug on their own, out of their own free will, that's when it means something. God's not in the business of forcing us, you know, you tell me thanks, and then we say thank you, you know, like we tell our kids all the time, what do you say? They say thank you. That's not the way God, He wants it to be from our own free will. That's what it says in verse 29. So that's the first way on how we should give thanksgiving. It has to be because we want to. It has to be because it's coming from our heart, not because we feel forced to, not because we want to fit in with whoever we're around, because it comes from our own will. All right, I want to look at something else here a little bit. Don't take me too seriously on this. Okay, but look at the verse before on 28. Look at verse 28, and then we're going to read through 30. Another way we should act at thanksgiving, the way we should give thanksgiving to God, it says, "And whether it be cow or ewe, you shall not kill it and her young, both in one day. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord, offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until tomorrow. I am the Lord." So another way we give thanksgiving is not to leave leftovers. It says, does it not say that? It says, eat it all up, leave none of it until tomorrow. So we're supposed to eat it all. We always have Thanksgiving leftovers, but that's not biblical. Let's look at Leviticus 7. Look at Leviticus chapter 7. So it's good to eat the whole turkey, to eat all that stuffing or whatever it is. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 8. And these were rules given to the priests. They didn't work, they didn't earn money, so their food was taken from the sacrifices that were there. And these were the laws that God gave them. It said, "The priest that offereth any man's burnt offering," Leviticus 7, verse 8, "even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat offering," this is going to get you ready for Thanksgiving. Listen, "all the meat offering that is baking in the oven, and it is dressed in a frying pan, and in the pan shall be the priest that offered." I mean, this stuff that we cook on Thanksgiving is biblical. "And every meat offering mingled with oil and dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried." Anything fried is good. I imagine fine flour fried is pretty good. So, but you see, there's food involved here with this sacrifice of thanksgiving. Maybe this is where the Puritans got it. I don't know. "Besides the cakes he shall offer for his offering, leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkleth the blood of the peace offering." Verse 15. "And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning." God says it twice, no leftovers. So we have to eat it all. And what if it's like pie? Ed, should we eat all the pie, you think? A few other things too. But pie, we think it's not good for us. But the Bible says too, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it should be received with thanksgiving. So we should eat it all, whether it's good for us or not, leave nothing for the next day. That's what I get from this for Thanksgiving, right? So some of these things here, okay, they were talking about the Old Testament law. And we no longer do those things. Okay, but some of the things we can. We know that we should do it out of our own free will. I want to look at the next thing. Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11. So we're looking at how to give thanksgiving. It should be from our own free will. Nehemiah chapter 11 is where we're at now. Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 17. Verse 17, the Bible says, "And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving and prayer." So when the Israelites returned from the Babylonian captivity, they came back to Jerusalem, they rebuilt the city, and they were going to give a thanksgiving service. This man who was like the great-great-grandson of Asaph, who wrote many of the psalms, wrote many of those songs there, okay, he was the principal. He was the man in charge to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. So how do we give thanksgiving? We should do it of our own free will. We should do it, and we should begin it with prayer. When we give thanks to God, we do it with prayer. So, again, looking at thanks, if you want for your thanksgiving this year, thanks to do it, we want to do it of our own free will. Do it with prayer. Look in Nehemiah chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 27. "And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps." So with thanksgiving we see singing and cymbals and psalteries and harps. Look at verse 46 of chapter 12. Nehemiah 12, verse 46. "For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers in songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God." So when we give thanksgiving to God, we can do it with our mouths through prayer. We can do it with our mouths through singing as well. Singing is a way that we can give thanksgiving unto God. And that's one of the principal uses of song. When we sing in church, it's to give thanksgiving and praise and glory to God. But we give thanksgiving to God through singing, through prayer. We do it of our own free will. Let's turn to Psalm 26. Psalm chapter 26. And we're going to end here in Psalm 26. How else should we come to God? How else should we give thanksgiving to God? Let's read the first 7 verses of Psalm 26. The Bible says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." So these first 6 verses are all done. He says he's done all these things. Why? So then in verse 7, "so that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." We must do all these things in verse 6 so that we can publish, so that we can make it public to God, we can make it public to others that we're thankful to God and that we can rejoice and praise Him for all His wondrous works. We've got to do all these things in the first 6 verses so that we can give proper thanksgiving to God. What are these things in these 6 verses? Talk about living a clean life. Look at verse 4. It says, "I have not sat with vain persons." Vain means worthless. It means not, they don't know where they're going. They don't know why they're here. They have no purpose in life. We don't sit with these people. People that don't know the truth. Okay, we don't hang around these people all the time, talking like they talk, walking like they walk, doing what they do, just acting just like the world that's full of vain people that know not the truth. We can't do all those things, act like the world, be around these people, act like them, do like them, do all this stuff, and then all of a sudden say, "Yes, and I thank God for all this stuff, and I want to rejoice and tell you about all His wonderful works." It doesn't work that way. "In order so that you may publish thanksgiving," as it says in verse 7, "and tell of all thy wondrous works." You want to tell other people about God, the God of the Bible, you can't be sitting around doing what they do. You've got to be living a clean life. Look on in verse 4, it says, "Neither will I go in with dissemblers." A dissembler is a hypocrite. Okay, it's somebody that says one thing and they do another. Okay, it's one thing with people that just don't care about church, they don't care about life, they're just doing whatever they do. There's another people that they think they're Christian, they think that they're doing these things, but they're hypocrites. They say one thing on Sunday and they do another thing the rest of the week. We shouldn't go in with these dissemblers, with these hypocrites. We can't do that. We can't be hypocritical. We can't be hypocrites in our life and then all of a sudden give thanks to God. And on Thanksgiving Day, we're just praising God for all that He's done for us when we're living a hypocritical life. We can't just turn and then all of a sudden talk about God's wondrous works when our life doesn't show it. So we can't sit with vain persons. We can't go in with dissemblers. Look in verse 5. It says, "I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." You know, we can't sit around on a bar stool acting like a fool, right? And then all of a sudden, when it comes time for Thanksgiving and time to pray and time to do these things, then all of a sudden we're holy. Then all of a sudden we're Christian and we're thanking God for all these great things. When our life is not showing the fruit of what Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will show in our life. So in order so that in verse 7 we may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and we may tell of all thy wondrous works, we need to live a clean life. We need to live a life that is in accordance with Christ's will for us and what He wants us to do. We should live a life it tells us in verse 1. It says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity." We should live a life of integrity. We should say what we mean. And we should mean what we say. We should say exactly what we're going to do, and then we do what we say. We're a life of integrity. That's a life of a Christian. We live a life of integrity. Then we can speak of God. People will believe us then. I mean, you live a life of not integrity. You tell somebody you're going to do something, you don't do it. You cheat somebody, you rob somebody, you do dishonest in business, and then you try to praise God and tell of His wondrous works. It doesn't work. We've got to live a life of integrity, it tells us in verse 1. Verse 3 tells us, I have walked in thy truth. We need to read His truth, and we need to obey His truth. When the Bible tells us something, we obey it. We change our life in accordance with God's Word. We don't hear the truth and then walk away from it trying to do what we want to do. We walk in the truth. Then when somebody says, when you tell them about how great God is and the wonderful things He does, they'll listen because you're not a hypocrite. You're saying you believe it and you're walking the life. Sure, we're going to stumble. Sure, we're going to fall. But the pattern of our life is that we want to obey this book. We're not trying to rebel against God. Finally, in verse 5, it says, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. We should hate evil. We should hate what God hates. If it's evil, there's evil on TV, and we shouldn't sit around and laugh at it and joke at it and laugh at something that God hates. We should hate what God hates. We should hate evil. I mean, if we're sitting around watching the ordinary sitcom that's got, you know, all kinds of jokes and stupid stuff on it all the time, we're laughing, then we'll say, hey, God's great too, don't you think? We can't do that. We got to live a clean life. We live a life that's in accordance with God's Word. Then we can publish the voice of thanksgiving. This is how we give thanksgiving. We got to work on ourselves. We got to think of ourselves and our life. We don't just show up all of a sudden doing whatever we want and say, yeah, I thank God that He's given me this job and He's given us all this bounty and He's done all these things. We have to live a life in accordance with it so we can publish it. So how do we give God proper thanks? We first of all do it of our own will. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to cheerfully give thanks to Him as well. We do it of our own will. We do it with prayer. We do it with singing. And we do it with our clean life. That's how we can give God proper thanks. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you're thankful to Him, we keep His commandments. Finally then, when should we give thanks? We've looked at why. We've looked at how. Now when? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. Ephesians 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when should we give thanks? It's not just on a Thursday in November. It's all the time. It's for everything. It's in every situation. Paul was in prison. He was in bonds physically, but he was free spiritually. And he gave thanks. In all things, in everything, give thanks. Even when things are going bad. Even when you think that, you know, life's going against you, there are so many things we can be thankful for. I mean, Paul, he would think that life's going against him. Getting beat, getting shipwrecked, getting sent to prison, knowing that he's going to get executed sometime. I mean, none of us are facing that. But he said, in everything give thanks, at all times give thanks, because God has given us so much. He's blessed us with so much. So as we prepare for Thanksgiving, it's coming up here in a week and a half, let's think on these things. Think on what the Bible says, how we should do it, why we should do it, and do it out of our own free will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word, and we do. We thank You for all You've given to us, and so much that we do not deserve that You've given to us, and we just, first of all, ask Your forgiveness for the way that You've blessed us materially and the way we waste and the way we don't give. We're selfish. And I'm speaking for myself, Lord, and ask forgiveness for that. And I thank You for what You do for us. And I ask, Lord, that each one of us could look at our life and see things that we're thankful for. Look in Your Word and see things that we're thankful for. Things that truly matter. Things that we're going to be thankful for the rest of eternity, Lord. Lord, I ask that if there's anybody here this morning that does not know that they're saved, and the Bible says, we've looked earlier, if we're not living a life with a clean conscience, there's no way we can have confidence toward You. Lord, if there's somebody here that knows that their life is going against what You want, may they come to You. Come to You and ask forgiveness, Lord. And ask for You to change them. Ask for You to wash them of their sins. Make them white as snow. And to be saved from their sins once and for all through Your blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, please work on somebody here if they're like that. Lord, also work on us as Christians and help us not to be hypocritical. Help us not to sit around with vain persons. Help us not to allow wicked things in our life and to love the things of the wicked. Allow our life to be a testimony as well as our words. And so when we give thanks to you, when we praise you for your wondrous works, it can be done to your glory and not to our shame, Lord. So I thank you for your word. Thank you for this church, for being back in Nebraska with these wonderful people. And I ask that you be with us this week. Watch over each one of us. And help us to be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.